want to welcome everyone to our Wednesday Product Education Conference call. My name is Amy. I'm one of the owners and founders of Platinum Health Products, and we're really lucky to have with us David Sandoval, who's the other owner and founder of our company. And he's an author, he's a lecturer, he travels all around the world, and really his passion is to educate people on how whole foods and nutrition can impact their lives in a positive manner. And we've seen so many changes, we've heard so many wonderful testimonials, and basically it's just our goal to educate people so you can go out and educate people as well, because as we say on each and every call, knowledge is power. And so we want to empower you to go out and spread the knowledge that we're sharing with you and make a really significant impact into people's lives. So thank you, Dave, for all your inspiration, research, and passion that you bring to the table, and we just really appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate everyone who's joining us tonight, Amy, all your hard work to contribute to tonight's call as well. I know that the audience may not be as large as is typical, but I know that Amy is going to tell us how we could listen on the replay line and share this information with people. She'll do that a couple of times this evening, and I encourage you all to do that, to learn how to listen on the replay line and also to share this information with others who might benefit from it. There is a significant amount of calls that I used to receive when I did Health Talk Radio in New York City, people who are concerned about Parkinson's disease. And it is really, in my opinion, it is really vitally important that people take action to prevent this from happening to themselves. So tonight's an important call. We hope all of you will feel the same way. And Amy, without further ado, why don't you tell folks all of the important details that they will need to know, and then we'll get into the actual subject matter of tonight's call.
Awesome. Well, we make this call available on a replay line. It will play for 7 days starting tomorrow. And you can access that replay line by calling 212-461-8911. Again, that's 212-461-8911. Also, if we have your email address on file, we will email you out a web link where you can just click on that, play it right on your computer, or you can forward it, better yet, to friends or family members or loved ones who you think might benefit from the information. Also, we will permanently archive this call on our website, which is available at phporder.com, and then you click on the Education tab and click on Conference Calls, and you'll find it permanently archived there for you. So anyway, let's jump right into the meat of tonight's call, and that is Parkinson's disease, which is a disease or ailment which can be very painful to watch a loved one go through if you're a family member or a friend, and very, very disturbing and painful for the person who's going through it themselves. So, Dave, you know, I know generally what Parkinson's disease is, but why don't you tell me and all of our listeners in a little more detail, what exactly is Parkinson's disease?
Well, Parkinson's disease is actually damage to what's called the substantia nigra. And the substantia nigra the substantia nigra is the region of the brain that produces the neurotransmitter dopamine. And dopamine is vital to the function of the part of the brain, the second area of the brain called the striatum, and the striatum, or the striatum, S-T-R-I-A-T-U-M, controls the movement of our body, like our muscles and things like that. Now, Parkinson's is also called, Parkinson's also is something where doctors don't understand it that much. It's really amazing how little people do know about Parkinson's disease. So, they've called it shaking palsy. They've called it paralysis agitans in the past. And now they all come under one umbrella called Parkinson's disease. And it's a degenerative disease affecting the nervous system. Its cause, again, is unknown, but the symptoms are very, very easy to detect. And scientists are starting to go to work on this problem, and we hope to give you some more insight into it tonight.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Yeah, that sounds like it's definitely a disorder or dysfunction of the brain, then, correct? And how the brain
it is. It's a dysfunction of the brain, And it's sort of induced by the body's imbalance of serotonin and this conversion of L-DOPA into dopamine, which the body does not do very efficiently. And so that, you know, is starting to be like the strongest suspended root cause. But Parkinson's, again, as far as the cause itself goes, what you're looking for is to, you know, it's a progressive and degenerative disease. And so its root cause oftentimes could be detoxification, like a constipation is considered one possible trigger of it. There's also heavy metal toxicity, which could be considered a root cause of it. They think there might be a genetic component that is a root cause of it. The overconsumption of meat may be a root cause of it. But you notice the thing we have in common is I keep saying maybe, because they're not absolutely certain at this time. But Amy, there are symptoms that people can recognize. And why don't you tell people what they should look for in the people they love or even in themselves to see if Parkinson's might be something that's creeping into their life?
Right. Well, the first major sign or symptom is tremors or tremoring. When normally the body parts are at rest and then they begin to shake or to move involuntarily, that is definitely a sign. If you notice the loved one who was walking normally begin to start shuffling their feet, almost having difficulty walking, that is an early sign of Parkinson's disease. Or basically just...
We call it snowshoe syndrome. People look like they're walking in snowshoes.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Also, just generally moving with less mobility, like maybe not swinging of the arms, maybe not standing as upright and walking as briskly as one did in the past. Also, muscle stiffness is a sign or a symptom, although a lot of us have muscle stiffness, but it can be, especially if it's in conjunction with one of these other signs, as well as losing balance. Falling over while standing and perhaps not even realizing that you're starting to lean until a friend or loved one says, hey, you know, you're leaning over a little bit. So basically very poor balance seems to be a sign and symptom of developing Parkinson's disease.
Absolutely. Well, that's very good. Now, in addition to that, we put together some pretty cool little facts, and some of them we've already alluded to, but why don't you share some of those interesting facts that we've learned and come across about Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, and again, as you were saying, all the things that you notated as the causes, there was a maybe in front of these, and so these again are hypotheses that alcoholism is a possible indirect cause of developing Parkinson's disease. Also, constipation is a possible cause, and there was one study that gave some concrete evidence that men with constipation who had that went to the bathroom less than one time daily, were 2.7 to 4.5 times more likely to develop the disease than men who eliminated or moved their bowels at least once per day. So that is
huge
concrete evidence. Yeah, absolutely. Also, we read in our research that a folate deficiency or folic acid or folate deficiency perhaps could be a causative factor or accelerate the disease.
And those are green foods, very rich in folate.
Absolutely. Vitamin E and tocotrienols seem to be effective in the treatment of Parkinson's disease. And then a big one that kept coming up in research after research or information that we were reading alluded to heavy metal toxicity being a possible cause. And that's something that we've talked about a lot here at Platinum Health, is that it is a nasty world that we live in. And we are exposed to a lot of heavy metals. There are things that we don't even realize that we're being exposed to daily. And so especially if you work in certain industries, you're being exposed to this in very high doses all the time. So heavy metal toxicity is something that we all need to be aware of, especially when we're younger, because overexposure to this and carrying this our whole entire lives could lead to Parkinson's disease, just as with babies. They're finding, and a lot of the research is showing, that heavy metal toxicity can lead to autism. Well, they're showing in older people the accumulation of heavy metal could be a possible cause of Parkinson's.
Absolutely. And what they're saying is, we're not talking about causes, but things that seem to exacerbate it or accelerate its effect on the body. Yeah, exactly. So very good. Facts that that we are sharing with the people there. Where would you like to go next?
Well, we talked about we always talk about lifestyle and diet and some things that you can do to take some preventative or precautionary measures. And one of the things was stimulate your brain. And on a daily basis, and some of the suggestions were like crossword puzzles.
Absolutely. What we proved is that when there are certain areas of the brain that when they are unused, they actually become dormant, and ultimately the cell neurotransmission to those cells is shut down. And as a consequence, you literally lose the ability to have certain memory responses and certain recall and certain mental alertness and acuity. And so it's a use it or lose it thing. When you're over 40, which some people out there are, I don't know. But when you're over 40, you lose 100,000 brain cells a day unless you are doing something to stimulate and learn. While you are learning, you do not start to lose brain cells. When you stop learning, then your brain cells die at 100,000 per day.
Wow.
So it's a use it or lose it type of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just like your musculature. You've seen elderly people where their muscles have just completely wasted away. Or if you're an athlete and you break a bone and you're in a cast and you can't move that that limb, that leg, or that arm, the muscles just shrink away to nothing. And the same thing, unfortunately, can go on in the brain if you're not learning, if you're not stimulating it.
Absolutely.
I don't think we're just talking about watching TV, right?
No, definitely not. Although, believe it or not, playing video games is not the same as watching TV and does stimulate the brain.
Absolutely, because of the hand-eye coordination and the thinking and the reasoning that it takes to, to shoot the whatever or to make the thing go in the hole or whatever these video games do. But another thing that is very important as a preventative measure is detoxification. And again, that's something that we talk about here on these conference calls a lot, that we should try to be detoxifying in some way on a daily basis, whether it's using a green drink or incorporating other specific detoxification products into our diet on a daily basis.
And let's look at this in a number of ways. When you are, we've got this nutrient deficiency that seems to be at the core of Parkinson's. We have this, lack of the super production of free radicals, our body's inability to control free radicals. We have, this connection between toxicity, heavy metals and such, which is caused by auto intoxication, which is caused by impacted fecal matter, which is constipation, which leads to reduced nutrient uptake.
Absorption.
And so this combination, it's a cyclical thing.
Like
one is feeding the other.
It's a total cycle. When you were just describing it there, that makes total sense. It's just one leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other.
It's what came first, the chicken or the egg type of mentality.
Exactly. Go ahead,
Dave. Oh, I'm sorry. And so what we'd like to do is we'd like to show people that during, with the increase of motility and the focus on reducing heavy metals, you will have, you'll in a way cure the nutrient deficiencies, because you will then uptake more nutrients from, uptake more nutrients from the foods that you're consuming as well. So the cure is beneficial, one feeds the other, which feeds the next.
Exactly, absolutely. The next thing that we said, which is pretty common, is avoid smoking, because smoking is such a polluter of the body. So you can't detoxify, to be honest, if you're smoking every day, because you're just putting so many toxins back into the body.
And it goes to smoking reducing the key antioxidants, beta-carotene and vitamin C. Those two are two of the key antioxidants that deal with free radical damage. Free radical damage contributes to the death of L-DOPA cells. L-DOPA cells are the cells that convert L-DOPA into L-dopamine. And so free radical damage destroys them. And so smoking causes the free radical scavengers, vitamin C and carotenoids, to be, diminished or used up very quickly in your bloodstream, which means that your body's more susceptible to the damage that leads to Alzheimer's. So that's a really good connection. It may be secondary, Amy, but I think it's something people need to be aware of.
Absolutely. And then you were talking about the L-dopamine, and we always like to talk about dietary transition that you can make with your food choices, as well as the whole food supplements that we recommend as part of the protocols. And one dietary thing that there's been a lot of research on is called the fava bean. And to be honest, it's F-A-V-A. It's something that I wasn't familiar with. I had to Google it to make sure I was understanding right. But it is a bean. It says you can buy it canned, frozen, or obviously get it fresh. And you were saying that is one of the only food sources of
L-DOPA. Now, there are, however, other dietary modifications that we need to consider. So let's start with the things that we shouldn't do under dietary modifications. I think that the list has to start with, and maybe we could give the list and then explain the why. We want to reduce our consumption of carbohydrates, because for some reason when your body burns carbohydrates for energy, it also inhibits the conversion of L-DOPA. So the slow-burning carbohydrate would be preferred, so you could have much less of them. But a low-carbohydrate diet is going to be best for the person with Parkinson's. Secondly, go ahead.
A low-protein diet as well.
Absolutely. And do you want to explain why? Or would you like
you
me
can
to?
Do that.
Okay. When your body is digesting protein, it actually uses the same the precursor enzyme that converts L-DOPA as well. So basically, a high protein and a high carbohydrate diet both inhibit the production of L-DOPA, and it's because of the type of proteins that are there. And what we're talking about now is eating all of your protein before 2 o'clock is also very important for the person with Parkinson's. And so probably the third thing that you want to avoid, again, as far as your diet goes, is alcohol. So smoking, alcohol, high protein, and a high carbohydrate diet, and surprisingly, Amy, multivitamins were proven not to help. So the things you shouldn't do is you shouldn't do multivitamins. And I've got a study, if you wouldn't mind me taking a moment to cite, I think is really, really important, because it supports the philosophy that you and I have espoused for so many years, that shows that taking nutrient-rich foods is far better than taking synthetic or chemically composed vitamin tablets.
Awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
It's a pretty awesome study, Amy. 76,900 women were studied for 14 years and 47,000 men for 12 years. So that's a pretty big study. The participants were healthcare professionals, mostly doctors and nurses. And every 2 years, they filled out detailed surveys about their diets that included their vitamin intake from foods and pills. Now, 371 people developed Parkinson's disease during the study, but none of the people who took vitamin C or beta-carotene or vitamin E supplements had any lower risk.
Wow.
And that supported the idea that that these supplements, that we talk about don't help or protect the body. However, and this is the big however, Amy, those participants who ate vitamin E-rich foods as part of their diets developed the fewest cases of Parkinson's disease overall.
Wow.
Now, the author said that the fact that when you eat
vitamin E-rich foods, you also get other things like tocotrienols and trienols and B vitamins. And they said that's the reason why it was so protective. And, well, we've got a great solution to that, don't we?
Absolutely. That would be the rice bran solubles, right?
Oh, you're getting ahead of yourself. Yes.
Go ahead.
I also wanted to say they showed that that eating foods, Amy, that have a lot of sulfur is bad. That's another thing that you need to avoid, are foods with a lot of sulfur. So usually you and I are on this call telling people the sulfur is so good for you.
Onions and broccoli, all those things.
Beef, right? And all of those things, but you know, the sulfur-containing compounds, for some reason, are not that good in the instance of Parkinson's. So we just want to tell people about that you want to avoid those if you can.
Now, things that you should have was, again, these fava beans seem like they could be a really good inclusion in the
diet. Well, here's the awesome part, Amy. You're right, because you know that L-DOPA supplement, the medicine that they sell?
Right.
Well, after 10 years, it stops working.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that really, excuse me, that is lame.
Yeah.
I mean, because most people start developing this like in their 60s, 70s, and they might live to be 70, 80, 90. So
yeah,
10 years stops working. Well, guess what? The fava bean, which naturally causes the body to convert to dopamine, doesn't have diminished returns.
Wow. That's great.
You know what I mean?
Exactly, because the body recognizes it as a food-based source, like we talk about all the time. The body knows what to do with it. It's not this synthetic thing being dumped on the body. So another thing that is good to include in the diet is to have a high fiber diet to eliminate that constipation problem. That would also mean drinking a lot of liquid, because when you have a lot of fiber, you definitely need to drink a lot of liquid to keep it moving through, you know, the intestinal tract.
Absolutely. Now, people that had a high fat, high protein, and a protein carbohydrate-rich diet, as we said, were the worst off. So make sure that on the food combining side, you're not mixing proteins and carbohydrates, and you're not mixing, obviously, dairy products and meat as well.
Right, absolutely. And then,
on the things that you should do from the food side, obviously, fruits and vegetables are really big. You don't want to do a lot of whole grains necessarily, because you want to keep your carbohydrates fairly low. So get your carbohydrates from your fruits and vegetables, and a super efficient carbohydrate like activated barley would be the best recommendation, because you get so much more energy out of it. Another type of carbohydrate like oatmeal is also recommended for people who have this disease, because it's a very efficient and high energy carbohydrate.
Exactly. That's very good information. Another thing is melatonin.
Now, is that on the? Oh, are we talking about as far as like things that have been shown to help?
Right, or to include like melatonin-rich foods, which would be.
Which obviously would be. Yeah, I was wondering. Did you want to? Are we done with the basic, like the dietary, like recommendations that have to do more with, let's say, the food that you eat for dinner or the food that you should avoid?
I think so. We could recap it really quickly. Like, the ones on the avoid list are a lot of carbohydrates, especially the fast-burning carbs. We want to avoid protein, and when we do eat our protein, we want to eat it before 2 p.m., and we want to avoid the sulfur compound foods like onions and broccoli and things like that. And then on the include side is this fava bean, which you can get canned or frozen or fresh at the market, and a lot of fiber, but from fruits and vegetables, not necessarily from carbs, on the food side.
Now, if you also want to have foods that are good, like sources of essential fatty acids, and so that would mean, you know, certain foods that might contain oily fish or on the protein side, if you're going to have protein, try to have oily fish. And if you're going to select a bread, maybe select some of the breads that have seeds in them that are richer in the essential fats. If you're going to have eggs, maybe get the ones that have, because eggs are one of the few protein sources that are actually pretty good because of the phosphatidyl choline in the yolk, and then they also will have the omega-3 in the yolk if you get that quality of egg.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, because egg's going to have your protein, just want to remind, do that before 2 o'clock.
That's right.
Cool, cool. Well, should we move on to our supplement protocol?
Absolutely. It's funny. I mean, Parkinson's is one of those things that we actually have a high amount of, like, supplemental hope, because if you look at all the things that they relate to, there appear to be nutritional connections. You know what I mean? It's unlike other conditions where they, you know, where they really have a grip on, you know, like medicines that they recommend and all this stuff. People don't know that much about Parkinson's, but they know what works to help slow it down, and they know what works to help, you know, sort of change it. And so knowing what we know about that, it's pretty easy to recommend, you know, some supplements, and each one has a specific reason. What I'd like Amy to do is first, it's about 6 or 7 supplements. I want Amy to list them, and then we're going to break them down and explain what each one does and why it's so important in this part. We should call this Parkinson's Protection Diet, because that's really what we've designed it to do, is protect you against
Parkinson's.
I like
that. Parkinson's protection. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing, and I will just list them, and then we'll go back and talk a little bit more in depth, is a daily fiber blend. Also,
detoxification and motility.
Oh, I thought we were going to
and
go back. So we have daily fiber blend. We have rice bran solubles. We have the fulvic zeolite, chlorella, the master amino complex, cherry, a pop of cherry, aloe vera, 40X, spirulina, and Revive It All, as well as the enzyme advantage. So let's go back in. Let's tell us about daily fiber before I cut you off there.
Oh, no, my bad. I wasn't paying attention to daily fiber blend. It goes to immediately to our study on taking a daily bowel movement and that reducing by over 300 to 400 or close to 300 to 400% your risk of developing Parkinson's. I don't know how anybody could ignore that. It's number one, no exception. The first thing you should do is stop auto-intoxication by allowing your bowel to move at least once a day. Amy and I think 3, but once is obviously clearly superior to none.
Yes, absolutely. And would you say, Dave, if you're already achieving 1, 2, or 3 a day, it's not really a necessity?
Not really necessary to add that. This is for the people who may have that problem.
Or not.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, well, let's talk about the rice bran solubles.
Rice bran solubles is awesome because the number one nutrient that they say helps, as you saw in the other study, it was the men with the lowest level of the incidence of Parkinson's were those who had the highest naturally level of occurring vitamin E equivalents. Now, this means tocotrienols and trienols and B vitamins. Well, there is no single food that is a higher natural source of vitamin E equivalents or B vitamins than rice bran solubles. So it appears to be the ideal supplement for this condition.
And what would you recommend? How many servings per day of the rice bran solubles?
If this is truly a concern, I would say that you would want 3 servings. They say that you want to take the vitamin E-rich food 3 to 4 times a day, so 3 to 4 servings a day of rice bran.
Got it. Awesome. Okay. Now, I'm going to do these kind of as a tandem, the fulvic zeolite and the chlorella. And the reason we kind of tandem those up is about the heavy metal detoxification.
Exactly. Now, for those who are on one of my nutritive plans, I would lean toward the chlorella because the chlorella has essential fatty acids and other things that are important in this diet. The chlorella also is rich in protein. So let's go ahead and we're already going to be recommending that spirulina be used as a nutrient source because it is so concentrated source of the nutrients that you need as a possibility. Let's go toward the fulvic zeolite, which will detoxify heavy metals but will not contribute any protein to the diet. And so the fulvic zeolite is nature's most potent eliminator of heavy metals, and when combined and used in conjunction with the daily fiber blend, is going to allow the body to quickly move the heavy metals that are cleansed at the, in the from the tissue to be moved out of the bowel. Now, fulvic zeolite, for those of you who don't know, is created when volcanic lava, literally, goes into the oceans. And this super heated, earth, there's certain components of it that will crystallize and form a, you know, almost a magnetic attraction to heavy metals. And when you take that into your body, it pulls them from your body. So fulvic zeolite is an ideal address, because remember, when they look at the causes, the root causes, the number one potential root cause is heavy metal, is the constipation, and number two is heavy metal intoxication, and that's what we have the fulvic zeolite for. It will reverse that heavy metal toxicity and help protect your body from the auto-intoxication of heavy metals that lead to the acceleration of Parkinson's symptoms.
And so would you recommend, or would we, not recommend, suggest label copy, like 3 drops 3 times a day of the zeolite?
Yeah, 9 drops a day is what I recommend on an ongoing basis. And again, this is all preventative, and I think that's plenty, and it works just great.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to quickly throw in that we are not doctors here. We are not giving medical advice. We're giving nutritional suggestions. And like you said, we're calling this Parkinson's protection. This is certainly not a cure. And we're not suggesting anything that we're talking about is a cure. So just kind of wanted to throw that in there.
Absolutely. And we're not offering medical advice. You've already said that there's no medical treatment for this other than L-DOPA. It diminishes after 10 years, and we're trying to help you learn what science has shown and proven might be effective to help you avoid the acceleration of symptoms or even the onset of symptoms.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk about master aminos, because in a way it sounds a little bit contradictory when we're saying don't do protein but do master aminos. So explain the reasoning or thought processes behind recommending the master amino.
In the digestion of protein, the body it will stop producing the L-DOPA conversion enzyme. Okay, there's an enzyme that converts L-DOPA to dopamine, and when you're processing protein, it stops working. Well, master amino is the highest efficiency protein available. It has the lowest impact on the body. The body does not need to digest it because it's pre-digested. It goes through lymph fluid instead of the blood, which means that it never interferes in L-DOPA conversion. So it's the ultimate protein for someone, because your body absolutely needs protein to keep your muscles strong. However, it's a conundrum for the Parkinson's sufferer. How are you going to get that protein? The answer, clearly, master amino acids.
Exactly. Okay, well, that makes perfect sense then. Now, we talked about, or we had read and mentioned that melatonin was actually a very important factor in preventing or lessening the symptoms, if you will. And so we recommend the cherry, which the Apatha cherry, in conjunction with the aloe vera. So tell us about the cherry and tell us why we recommend it in conjunction with the aloe vera so often.
Well, there's a couple of reasons, Amy. And excessive free radical production is probably the most primary, or is the primary responsible cause of what's called dopaminergic cell death. And dopaminergic is the stopping of the conversion of dopamine, and that's what causes Parkinson's disease. Or it not causes, but that's what happens Parkinson's disease. Both as a cause and an effect of the excessive oxidation, there's a reduced activity of complex 1, and that's the mitochondrial electron transport chain. And that's a fancy way of saying that the mitochondrial, the neurotransmitters, which are little message centers, are actually open for business when they're clean, and they are not able to receive the neurotransmissions or the messages from the brain when they're dirty. They are dirtied up by poor diet, and they're cleaned up by certain free radical scavengers. Well, the thing is, nothing apparently scavenges the free radicals that contribute to Parkinson's better than melatonin. And so, and it's funny, because melatonin's a hormone. It's manufactured from serotonin. It's secreted by the pineal gland And we know that it is, you know, helps us to sleep, but a lot of people don't realize it's a powerful antioxidant. Melatonin is actually an established treatment option for jet lag. Doctors have verified it. It helps with various types of sleep problems, as we talk about all the time. We've also shown that it can be beneficial for cancer. And so studies show that melatonin does not necessarily increase any increase in cerebral vascular flow. However, it does show that melatonin is a phenomenal protector of all neuron cells. And the reason why is because it prevents what's called apoptosis. And apoptosis is, again, a fancy name for when your cells become so polluted that they don't work.
Right, right.
So melatonin is the best.
Absolutely. And then the aloe helps keep the melatonin in the bloodstream circulating longer. Isn't that right?
Well, the problem is that if you take a melatonin supplement, it could actually interfere with, you know, with the L-dopamine, you know, with the L-dopamine production. And however, when you take it from a food, then it may actually increase the ATP production and promote glutathione homeostasis, which basically it stops basically your body from using the melatonin that's produced for your brain, and it keeps it scavenging free radicals. So the bottom line is that melatonin in a pharmaceutical sense is probably something that you need that needs to be avoided.
Avoided.
Yeah, but melatonin from cherries is actually going to be beneficial for the body.
Absolutely cool. And the combination with the like a teaspoon of aloe vera is a really good thing to do too. So it's 2 tablespoons of the apothecary. And would you recommend still doing it at nighttime, like we do on the label copy, with the 1 teaspoon of the aloe vera?
I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely agree with that. And the reason why is because it helps hold melatonin in the blood actually 3 times longer than otherwise it would be held in the blood.
Awesome. Okay. We talked about spirulina as a, and again, you think, well, that has quite a bit of protein. Why are we recommending spirulina? But there's so many other things like fatty acids, B vitamins that spirulina can contribute, and the protein is not that toxic.
The number of grams of protein, you're right, Amy, is relatively small.
Right.
It is 65% protein, but we're just giving you a few grams in total a day.
It's not like eating a steak or something like that.
Or even a hard-boiled egg. It's not even close. And
right.
So what we do recommend is that the spirulina has the B vitamins, it has the carotenoids, and it has the essential fatty acids that are vital to protecting the cell physiologically. And so between the rice bran and the spirulina, you're going to be getting those nutrients that are most responsible for protecting against the not only the onset, but also the progression of the symptoms of Parkinson's disease.
Absolutely. And then kind of the, we have one more product. Let's talk about the enzymes, the Enzyme Advantage. And I think that goes to kind of like the low nutrient absorption, et cetera, that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, actually, it's been shown clinically that people who have Parkinson's disease have very, very poor digestive enzyme activity in their bodies, and that combined with the overconsumption of meat is disastrous.
Correct.
And so when you eat foods with a high enzyme content, raw foods, this seems to be very good for the Parkinson's sufferer. And taking digestive enzymes that are like ours are from raw food. They're excuse me, food-based digestive enzymes is going to accelerate the digestive process, release the burden on the body, and as a consequence, increase nutrient uptake and digestive or the motility rate, at which you know obviously we want constipation to be eliminated, and also the uptake of nutrients to be accelerated.
Absolutely. And kind of the capstone product or a product you were talking earlier about, neurotransmitter receptivity and things like that in the brain, and the product that came to mind for me was the Revive-It-All. So tell us a little bit about what Revive-It-All does for us.
Well, first I want to give a warning that a lot of people thought that using kava extract, because there were some clinical studies started with kava. Well, the truth of the matter is that that kava could actually cause the onset of Parkinson's-like symptoms. And so of all the things that sort of, relax you or whatever, just kava is not something that you want to, to use. And I just wanted to, we forgot to add that to the do not do list, and I saw it in my little footnotes here. So I didn't mean to digress.
Oh, awesome. Thanks.
But I wanted to put the kava into things that you want to avoid. Now, to address what you just said, I mean, this stuff is amazing. What they find is that Parkinson's disease is definitely a lack of the body's ability to have proper neurotransmission and reception. The root cause of it is one thing, but the fact that it happens is indisputable. And
right.
So what we have is a product that is clinically proven, not our product, but the ingredients in our product, clinically proven, to actually clean the mitochondria, to eliminate the damage or the crusted type of free radical damage that's done to the receptor sites, and allow for neuroreception and neurotransmission to be far more efficient. And that increased efficiency of neuroreception, neurotransmission contributes to a greater memory, recall, mental acuity, cognitive thought. All of those things are greatly enhanced when you use this product. So it is called Revive-It-All. It is, again, a combination of antioxidants and driver proteins. The antioxidants need the driver proteins to get them into and through the blood-brain barrier where they can do their job. And again, one of the most brilliant physicians of our time, Dr. Bruce Ames from Berkeley University, was the originator of this formula, did a fantastic job doing the research and publicizing it, and we're riding his coattails for sure, but we have actually doubled the potency and increased the number of effective ingredients, for example, ginkgo and superoxide dismutase.
Absolutely. It's an amazing formula. So I highly, highly recommend that. And would you just say the label copy is what the dosage should be?
Definitely. The label copy is plenty, although there's nothing wrong with doubling and using it twice a day. But the label copy otherwise should be just fine.
Well, that runs down our list of supplementation or the products that in the Platinum line that we recommend. So let me just recap them one more time. We talked about daily fiber for constipation. We talked about rice bran solubles as a really great food source of tocotrienols and vitamin E nutrients. We talked about the fulvic zeolite as a wonderful heavy metal chelator. We talked about the enzyme advantage as a way to make sure that you are more fully digesting your food. We talked about master aminos as a non-toxic, good protein source. And I forgot, what was the good reason for the master amino?
just simply because it doesn't burden the lymphatic system is probably the number one reason.
Okay, great. The cherry, obviously, the super potent antioxidant melatonin, the aloe in conjunction with the cherry because it allows the melatonin to stay in the bloodstream up to 3 times longer, and spirulina as a great source of essential fatty acids and B vitamin nutrients, and then what Dave was just explaining, the Revive-It-All, which is just an amazing formula for brain activity.
Absolutely, it is. And, I believe that is a wrap.
That is a wrap, and I wanted to say, I know you're trying to be a dad tonight and meet your obligations on that end, so I'm going to say that we're not going to have questions tonight, but I would like to invite anyone that has questions to please email at info@phporder.com, or you can call one of our operators at customer service, which is 888- 747 6733 with your question, and we will get the answer, and we will, an operator will give you a call back. So again, I hope everybody understands. And again, if you'd like to reaccess the information on this call, you can do so by calling our replay line. And let me find that number here. The replay line is available. It will be starting tomorrow at area code 212-461-8911. It will run for one full week. Also, we will be emailing you out a web link to the conference call where you can forward that along to others, and we will permanently archive this call on our website at phporder.com under the education tab. So again, thank you everybody for taking time out of your Halloween evening to be with us and to learn about this, and we just really appreciate everybody being there with us tonight. Thank you, Dave, for all the great information, and we will actually be having a call next week, but it will be a pre-recorded call about breast cancer awareness, seeing that last month was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. In October, the Monday Morning Health Minute was all about breast cancer awareness this week, and so please tune in for that if you missed it last year when we originally did the call, because Dave will be out of town traveling. But we look forward to having you listen to that, and then we will be back with you live the very following week. So thank you, everybody, and have a wonderful evening.